Well, it's an appropriate day. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. A few weeks ago, I was reading in a poetry magazine, and it said something about trying to judge the greatest poems ever written. Well, there's a job, right? And the article stated that the passage that we heard this morning, John's prologue, perhaps was the very top of the list of all poetry ever written, and it could even challenge Shakespeare. And I thought, it is such an amazing passage. And in this passage, John is searching for the light among us, the light that sustains us, the light that holds us. Every year here at Grace, I seem to be blessed to preach on this amazing passage from John. So I think it's the maybe sixth time I've preached before you with this passage. So this is the time of the year when we seem to count every precious second of light. I was talking to my niece and I said, so how many seconds more do we get today? And she said, it doesn't work that way, Kate. It's not second by second. I like, oh, well, how much brighter? And she says, just live with it. You know, it's coming. It's coming. I think this year it seems that light is more meaningful as we deal with the world darkness. You know, it's a space in our world where we are really grappling. And I don't mean to say bad things about dark. I think I love the dark. But this year, I'm just edging toward that light. Even the Pope, on Christmas Day, he's talked to all of us about how do we find light in this world. And he begged us to stop the wars, stop the bombing, stop killing one another. And at the very moment that he was speaking, the United States was dropping a bomb on Nigeria, calling it a Christmas surprise. A bomb dropped in the name of Christ on Christmas Day. I don't even know how to deal with that. I don't even know how to talk about it. But I know that it hurts. So, in the beginning was the Word, God with us. Logos, or Word, is the expression of God's mind. Let me say that. It's expression of God's mind. How do we enter that? It's the expression of communication from God, and every word is given to us. It is a personal giving and communal also, but we can hear the Logos in our own being. The Gospel of John was the latest of the Gospels that was written, probably not written until the year 100, so that's quite a span, you know, if we're trying to deal with 100. It's back in the Civil War in our time, and we're trying to construct that. Well, this community is trying to say, well, we're the disciples of Jesus, so what does this all mean? That's what the Gospel of John is trying to do. What's it mean? So John, as he writes the gospel, proclaims this message: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So in Jesus, here's what's revolutionary, and it says so right in this morning's gospel. In Jesus, we can see God. Now that's an extraordinary thing to say, because in history, no one could see God. God is spirit. God is not flesh. God is not blood as we are. But now in Jesus, what? We can see God. We can see how God acts. We can see how God is. And of course, the reason for this is that then we see Jesus and we become as Jesus is. We live as Jesus. We have that light inside of us. This is one of the most revolutionary passages in the history of the world, that God is with us. Open your eyes, let in the light, see the divine one walking before, behind, around, under, and in us. In us. And as we see the divine in each other as we walk, we see the divine. I mean, look across. Can you see the light? The divine in each other. And we walk towards peace. As Christians, folks, we have no choice in this. If we say we are Christians, we are walking together in light towards peace. That's who we are. That's who we are. Now, this summer, my cousin, I told you this before, my cousin Tom and I visited the newly renovated Cathedral of Notre Dame in Paris. And if you look at the cover, there's this beautiful monstrance. This is where the reserved sacrament is held in the cathedral. And it's huge. It's probably the size, it's a big size, back of the window. And what hit me, it's a mandala. You know, it's got this circle in the middle where the host is. But coming from it are these rays of light, and there's a window behind it. So as you're in this presence, light is sparkling on everyone. It's shining. It's like pieces of the sun are coming toward us. I found it visually stunning. I've never seen a monstrance like this. And I realized that what it's doing, it's pulling us all into the center where the host is. You know, the rays of light are pulling us in where we are. Our presence is where the divine is. And if we look at the whole, the light is the heart of it. The light. There is a 14th century Christian philosopher and theologian named Meister Eckhart who wrote extensively on light, birth, and Christmas. And I share some of his words. And each one of these phrases could be a meditation for a lifetime. What good is it to me if this eternal birth of the divine Son takes place unceasingly, but does not take place within myself? What good is it to me if the Creator gives birth to his or her Son, if I do not also give birth to him in my time and my culture? This, then, is the fullness of time, when the Son of God is begotten in us. Eckhart says, listen carefully. If this birth has taken place within you, then no creature can any longer hinder you. Rather, every single creature points you toward God and towards this birth. In fact, everything becomes sacred. God's being is in my being, and God's primordial being is my primordial being. Wherever I am, there is God. The eye with which I see God is the same eye with which God sees me. And let's go back to that mandala. Eckhart says, being is God's circle, and in this circle, all creatures exist. Everything that is in God is God. Woo! You know, how do we even begin to comprehend the beauty of what this saying is? You and I are floating in the essence of God. We are the essence of God. We are God's birth. Oh, right? Now, Eckhart preached these ideas, and he talked about a succession of births, and he has three of them. And all these births take place in light. And light gives birth to vision, purpose. The first birth, as in the crib, the baby Jesus, is born physically among us. God is given to us. And we, at our birth, are given the fire too, the fire of the light of God in our heart and in our flesh. The Spirit is essential to this. The Spirit of God is essential. Yes, Jesus is this divine gift, and each of us encompass the divine heart of God. Who recognized us? In the Christmas story, I find it interesting that the angels and the shepherds recognized the light of the sacred child. He's a poor child, and literally, the shepherds see themselves in Jesus. He's one of them. He's one of their own people, right? There's no heirs. He is one of us. He's one of us. And why do the angels see them? Why do the angels recognize Jesus? Because angels are what? Light. Light sees light. Light embodies light. And anyone in this room, and I'm sure many of you have held a newborn child, and when you hold that newborn child, you know the unbearable grace of holding the sacred. The unbearable grace and responsibility of holding the sacred. That's the first birth. The second birth, we come to see and know and acknowledge this internal light, the presence of God, and allow it to illuminate our path. This happens probably when we are older, maybe when we recognize our first vocation or recognize that we are really truly loved by someone. As I look on Jesus' story, this is a guess, it doesn't say in the Gospels, but I think Jesus' second birth came when he heard the voice of God saying, "You are my beloved son. You are my beloved child." And once we hear that, what can we do with it? We have to respond. We respond to love as humans. We respond. You are my beloved, and the path is set for Jesus. And what does he do? He is drawn to the fierce light just as we are. And later, Jesus goes to the mount, and he proclaims that to be of God, what do? It is hard and simple. We feed the sick. We clothe the naked. And he says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Jesus states that mercy is the light that we will follow. In Hebrew, the word for mercy is the same root as womb. And men and women bear that womb of mercy. It's just not a feminine gift. It is for all humanity. A tender womb-like compassion. That's the Hebrew for mercy. So what is Jesus saying here? Oh, wow, right? If we see the light, we are responsible for it. The third birth is the recognition that each birth is cosmic, that all creation is connected by the same stardust. Jesus says, love our neighbors. How? As ourselves, as our flesh, we love the neighbor. When it's cosmic, it even moves beyond the human. I've told you guys this story, before, about the feral cat that came to visit me when my husband died. I have no idea how to explain this. I still have no reason for it. But when Ray died, this feral cat every day started bringing me a bird, dead bird, and left it at my door. And finally, I had to go out and say, "Dearly beloved cat, thank you, but I don't need any more birds." And believe it or not, no more birds came. But what happened is he would hang on the screen and cry when I cried. How, right? He would walk with me on walks for maybe 2 miles. He would not let go of me through my whole grief. I do not know how to explain this. The only thing I know is that in this universe of ours, we are connected beyond bonds of how we, there's no language, right? There's no language. That is this cosmic connection we have. I can give you another example. And it happened in the coldest, darkest part of winter. And I think it was Christmas vacation. I was about 14, thought I could do anything. And I told my dad, and it was really late at night, I was going for a walk. He said, "It's late, it's too late to go for a walk." "I am going for a walk." "It's dark out, I'm going for a walk." So my dad put on his coat and walked with me. Perhaps you've had these moments in your life and you cannot say how they came. They were total gift. But the stars were out so bright that night. I could feel them almost piercing me. And I had this experience, and I don't know how to explain it. But the stars, my father and I became one. We kind of, in my whole being, I knew we were the same. And even today, when I feel my spirit low, I can put myself back at that moment, and I know there is something beyond myself, and get out of myself, Kate. The stars are there, and my father, I believe, is still there. And this was, you know, this touching stardust. This is way before science. You know, today we know that the Earth and all of us are come from what? From stardust. But I had no consciousness of that. And here's what I do know about stars. Stars migrate and move. They don't stay stationary. They never stay in one place and say, this is good enough. They move. They do not have borders, as we as humans have put borders on, and say, I live here, you live there. We cannot know. Stars move. And galaxies themselves move relative to one another. I find that fascinating. They just don't say, as a galaxy, well, I'd like to go there. Mm-mm, they cannot do that. There are rules. They move in relationship in their galaxy clusters. So a star that's in a galaxy moves with other stars. I really think when John is talking about this whole concept of life, light, and birth, that somehow he, in a mystical way, is talking about the life of God in us. And I think Jesus very much personifies this. He never, ever walked out and said, I'm doing this by myself. The first thing he does is pulls the community. He says, you are sacred. We walk together. This cosmic birth, I think, is the heart of Christmas. It is the prologue of John. I love the Christmas story. And this story is wider. John is pulling us and pushing us. In the story of Jesus, we know that we are one. We are responsible for each other, for the plants, the critters, and earth itself. I would ask you, and I'm going to give you a few minutes of quiet, to pull yourself back in memory when you knew with every ounce of your being that the light shined in the darkness. And if you can find that moment, simply say, thank you, thank you. Or you may choose, because there is such darkness around us, to picture something that you cannot hold yourself and take that space and open that darkness to the divine life, to the light itself. It may be personal, it may be national, worldwide, I don't know. But I'm just gonna be quiet and go into your own light. My dear friends, I hope something came to your mind, but you're not finished with this meditation. This was just starting. Christmas season is a long season. Whatever came to you, work with it. Go back to it in your own quiet. Open your own heart to whatever came to you. And it's relational, our very being with God. So if it seems right that you should talk to someone else who shares light, do so. Excuse me. My beloved stepdaughter, Margaret Ekman, sent me a poem that she wrote this Christmas day. It is about opening oneself to the vastness of love. Well, my voice is finally going. So I'll see if I can get through it. Maybe someone else could read it for me. Is there anyone feels called? Thank you. I knew it was too good that I couldn't, that it was going to come coughing right here.
In a Christmas cold so intense, it makes my skin...
One moment.
Forget it ever knew the heat of summer sun. The night air thins to nothing. And in that nothing, a vision, Orion's belt, sparks against a deep velvet, each jewel as bright as it was when my father's hand touched my shoulder as I blinked away sleep, thrilled to be up so late. When he pointed to each belt link, distinct among the sprinkle of lesser gems, when his voice whispered with the love of sharing his passion for the stars with his only daughter.
And she enters the poem by saying that her dad said, "See, look here. Count the stars, 1, 2, 3. I know Margaret's poem is my own poem because Ray would always take me and wake me up in the middle of the night and say, let's go out and walk and let's look at the stars together. And it's about as romantic as you can get, folks, let me tell you. And also perhaps the most beautiful gift that I've ever been given, to walk in the night with my dearly beloved, where he'd say, look, look at the light. So the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Did not overcome it. And if we say in the beginning, we are as the stars in that amazing process of always being born. Amen. And thank you so much.
Thank you.